हे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जयो राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे जय श्री गौरंग जय श्री गौरंग जय श्री गौरंग जय श्री गौरंग जय राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी जय गिरिराज महाराज गिरिराज महाराज गिरिराज महाराज जय गिरिराज महाराज एवं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमदिष्टवाइन ग्रे सभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की एवं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमद श्री डिवाइन के शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरिष्ठ ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फोर चैप्टर नाइन टेक्स्ट नंबर वन मैत्रेय उवाच त एवम् उत्सन्न भया उरुक्रमे कृतावनाम प्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षा पितर ततो गरुत्मता मधोर्वनं भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः मैत्रेय उवाच त एवम् उत्सन्न भया उरुक्रमे कृतावनाम प्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षापि ततो गरुत्मता मधोर्वनं भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः मैत्रेय उवाच
तैवं
मुत्सन्नभया उरुक्रमे
कृतावनामा
प्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षापि ततो गरुत्मता मधोर्वनं भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः तैवोत्सन्नभयावरुक्रमे कृतावनामा प्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षापि ततो गरुत्मता मधोर्वनं भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः तैवोत्सन्नभयावरुक्रमे कृतावनामा प्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षापि ततो गरुत्मता मधोर्वनं भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः माताजी सील रीड वर्ड टू वन ट्रांसलेशन मैत्रेय उवाच द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय कंटिन्यूड ते द डेमिगॉड्स एवं दस उत्सन्न भया बीइंग फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल फियर्स उरुक्रमे ऑन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडेड हुज एक्शंस आर अनकॉमन कृत अवनामा दे ऑफर्ड देयर ओबेसेंसेस प्रययु दे रिटर्न्ड त्रिविष्टपम to the respective heavenly planets. Sahasra Shirsha Api, also the personality of Godhead, known as Sahasra Shirsha. Tataha, from there. Garutmata, getting up on the back of Garuda. Madhovanam, the forest known as Madhuvan. Vritya, servant. Didrikshaya, wishing to see him. Gataha, went. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Maitreya told Vidur, when the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears and offering their obeisances, they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is non-different from the Sahasra Shirsha incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. Purport. The word Sahasra Shirsha refers to the personality of Godhead known as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Although the Lord appeared as Shirodakshayi Vishnu, he has been described here as Sahasra Shirsha Vishnu, because he is non-different from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita, the Sahasra Shirsha personality of Godhead who appeared at that time was the incarnation known as Prishni Garbha. He created the planet known as Dhruva Loka for the habitation of Dhruva Maharaj. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सञ्जीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखानितांश नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वेलकम एवरीबडी टू दिस मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास सो दिस इज इन दिस सेक्शन दैट वी आर रीडिंग ऑफ ध्रुव महाराज we just yesterday completed Dhruva Maharaj, the first chapter in this section, and now today we start the second chapter of this. These two chapters are one of the most like important chapters of this particular pastime, and we see that there are a lot of prominent things which come out in this particular section. You know, the Kshatriya nature of Dhruva Maharaj, the slightest of a slight insult, and you know, he was so wild actually, and so he suffered such trauma. And then Mother Suniti's instructions, Narad Muni's timely intervention, he is testing Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is adamant as to what he wants. He rejects, you know, all the Brahminical advices of Dhruva Maharaj, of Narada Muni. And then, you know, what comes forth is the determination and the intensity of his tapasya actually. And then finally the culmination of his tapasya is, you know, he has managed, he is so much one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his intensity is so much one that, you know, he imbibes the power of the whole universe and tilts the earth a little bit with the weight of his toe actually. And then, you know, demigods, he chokes the whole universe of all the air. The demigods rush to Lord Vishnu, not knowing what's happening, such a crisis. And then Lord comes. We'll see in the future verses that Lord will come, fulfill the desire of Dhruva Maharaj, reciprocate with him, and Dhruva Maharaj returns home actually. But so I was just thinking in this chapter, you know, as we'll see in the future verses, you know, that Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord for a purely material desire actually. He wanted a kingdom which was higher than his father, his grandfather, his great grandfather. So it is actually, even in the third canto, we see Kardama Muni also approaches the Lord. Actually, he has prayed and done tapasya to the Lord. So we see that within the ambit of Krishna consciousness, a devotee is allowed to have some material desires, and then if he is approaching the Lord, then eventually in due course of time those material desires are purified. So it's a very interesting conversation between Kardama Muni and Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan reciprocating with Kardama Muni's tapasya has descended on the banks of Bindu Sarovar, where he is, where Kardama Muni is doing his austerities. Kardama Muni sees the beautiful form of the Lord. He has tears in his eyes, and with tears in his eyes, he is taking the darshan of the Lord. And then, but within his mind, so Srila Chakravarti Pad helps us understand, you know, the internal meaning. So, but within his mind, he is thinking, as he is praying to the Lord, that, you know, what am I praying to the Lord actually? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can relieve me of this whole material entanglement. And to that person, I am going to pray for a wife. So, like this he is praying. So then Chakravarti Pad explains what the Lord is saying. So he says, if you are thinking like this, then why don't you follow your brothers, the four Kumaras? So then Kardama Muni says, this is Srila Chakravarti Pad explains in his commentary. And Kardama Muni says, but actually I am like a bull who is tied by the instructions of Brahmaji. And because I am a bull, so he is comparing himself to a bull, so you please give me a cow. Like that. So he is praying for a wife like that. So in that section, where, of course then Lord fulfills the desire of Kardama Muni, and he says then in few days Swayambhu Manu will come and hand over the daughter Devahuti to you. So in that section, Srila Chakravarti Pad explains this very nicely, that even if a devotee has material desires, but if he is sincere and if he is approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he will not be affected, and Krishna will purify that desire and reinstate that devotee in proper consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. So what is important for us to know over here is that there are two things. One is a materialistic ideology and another a materialistic desire. So as devotees, we may have materialistic desires, that through that we, you know, and we can still practice Krishna consciousness. But if we are having a materialistic ideology, then that is something which Lord cannot tolerate. And we see, you know, time and again, Lord purifies materialistic desires and destroys or crushes the materialistic ideology that a person may have. Like in the case of Duryodhan, Kamsa, we see Ravana, Lord destroys the materialistic ideology. But a materialistic desire is, which is there by a sincere devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, that desire will be purified by the Lord actually. So this is something which is very nice. And the way the Lord does actually, the power of devotional service is such that we see, like Dhruv Maharaj, for somebody who has, you know, done such a great feat in such a small time, after achieving his desires, he is displeased. You know, in the future verses, I was just reading. So when Dhruv Maharaj is returning back to his father's kingdom, he is, in his heart, is displeased actually. He is thinking, what did I do actually? You know, something which is so rare for the yogis, I could achieve in 6 months at this tender age, but what did I ask of the Lord? So this particular, you know, thought process is there in Dhruv Maharaj. But Lord nevertheless fulfills all his materialistic desires, all those desires, and purifies him actually. So, and also, just in retrospective, what happened to Dhruv Maharaj, I was thinking that whenever we try to take shelter of anything else or anybody else apart from Krishna, then we are bound to get frustration. just like in this case, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he approached it, in his case, it happened at a very tender age, too early in life actually, things happened to him. But we see every time a person who is trying to take shelter of anything or anyone apart from Krishna or Krishna consciousness, then he is bound to face frustrations actually. Srimad Bhagavatam says in the second canto when Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Parikshit Maharaj for his glorious questions, you know. In that conversation, Shukadeva Goswami says that Dehapatya Kalatradishu Atma Sainyeshu Asatsvapi Tesham Pramatva Nidhanam Pashyan Apina Pashyati. He says, persons devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to their fallible soldiers like the body, the relatives, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. So, he is explaining how if we take shelter of anything else or anyone else other than Krishna, then we will face a lot of frustrations in our life. And, you know, Prahlad Maharaj also says in his prayers to Narsingadev, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narsimho nartasya chagadamudanvati majjato no taptasya tat pratividhirya ihanja sheshtas tavad vibhut anubritam tadupekshitanam. So he's, they're praying that, O Lord, those who are neglected by you, for them there is no real assurance in life. Because if somebody is neglected by you, then even if a parent wants to take care of the child, they cannot take care of a child. And a doctor and a medicine cannot cure a patient actually. And a boat on an ocean, boat on the ocean cannot protect a person who may be drowning. So in the His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj, one of my last interactions with him when he came to GV, he explained very nicely this story about when His Holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj's life was in crisis and various doctors tried to treat Maharaj. And then once Maharaj recovered a little bit, so one of them was having, I think Maharaj was having a discussion with one of the doctors who was part of many doctors who treated Maharaj, His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj. And then this doctor was, you know, taking great pride in his treatment, at how he cured Maharaj. And then this Maharaj, His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj was, you know, saying that how Krishna cured. And then this doctor was contesting that actually we cured, we gave medicines and we cured actually. So then they were arguing, and then Maharaj at one point in time, he asked this doctor, he says, so all those patients who get cured in your clinic were cured by you, right? So that means all those patients who died in your clinic, they were also killed by you. So then that doctor understood the point actually. So that, you know, the point that he was trying to make. So this is, you know, the nature. In the Brahmaji, just before beginning the creation, so one of his first prayers in the third canto, he prays to the Lord, Jnatosi me adya suchiran nanu deha bhajam na jnayate bhagavato gatir iti avadyam nanyatvadasti bhagavan apitan na shuddham maya guna vyatikarad yadurur vibhasi. So he's saying, O Lord, that you are so great and you know, everything else apart from you is so impure. And he says that living entities think that because of the great influence, Maya Urur, so because of the influence of your illusory energy, anything which is so insignificant also, people think it is such a great thing actually. One devotee was explaining, like, there are so many different types of Mayas which are mentioned actually in the scriptures, you know, like there is Yoga Maya, there is Mahamaya, and then there is different types of Maya and mystic powers that people in the higher realms of the society have, of the heavenly planets, you know, Yakshas, Gandharvas, and but nowhere in the scriptures does it mention Manushya Maya, you know, or the because these days there is a lot of there is a lot of talk about you know, the influence of technology, and then now India is also going to land on moon, and their space orbits, something has gone, Chandrayaan they have called it. So, but and then as humans we take such great pride. I remember as a child I was witness, there was some lunar or solar eclipse during the day, and we were all watching in the TV, and I was sitting with some of our you know, in building those days we would see those things together, and then one person said, this technological feat is so great, this is like challenging God, you know, just because they were able to see some lunar eclipse or solar eclipse, they were thinking, oh, this is so great, this is like challenging God. So Brahmaji says, you know, although it is insignificant, there is no class to what you know, what we have achieved at in one level, but still, because of this great illusory potency of the Lord, we think we have done so much great thing. As Maharaj explains, the that fly, we'll see so many in this during this time, you know, that fly, he is doing little bit of light and he is thinking that he is lighting the whole universe, because that's the like the Dr. Frog philosophy that Prabhupada explains. But the great souls, they do something which is, you know, they always put their faith and their shelter in Krishna and Krishna alone. We see Queen Kunti, she's praying. I mean, she's from a very aristocratic family actually. And after all the troubles that she has gone through, in her prayer, she is praying to the Lord, Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume Sneha Pasham Idam Imam Chindi Didam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She doesn't want, you know, she says, you cut my attachment to Pandus also, to Vrishnis also, because if I go to Pandus, Vrishnis will be disturbed. If I go here, they will be disturbed. So she says, you know, and then in the next verse, she says, Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhupate asakrit rati mudvata adadha gange ogha mudanvati. I don't want anything else but my consciousness to flow just like Ganges flows from the Himalayas to the Ganga Sagar without any obstacle. Similarly, I also want to take shelter of your lotus feet continuously in this particular lifetime. So, and great souls, they are wise because they know that Krishna and Krishna alone can reciprocate with and pacify all the different parties. We see, and Krishna is so expert, he can pacify, just like in the case of the killing of the sons of Pandus. You know, we see just in the first canto this comes. Krishna is able to give a solution by which Draupadi and Yudhishthir Maharaj, they are satisfied. At the same time, Bhima, who wanted to kill Ashwatthama, he is also satisfied. You know, and to pacify them, then Krishna brings out four arms actually, and holds with two arms, he is holding, I think, Bhima, and with two arms he is holding Draupadi. Because it's a very tricky situation. One party wants to kill, one party wants to forgive. But Krishna is, you know, bringing out a solution by which both parties will be satisfied. And this is a time and again we see in, I think this happened, must have happened in Dwarka, when Duryodhan and Arjun both have reached to the palace of Krishna. Duryodhan is sitting on the, near the face of Krishna, and Arjuna is sitting at the lotus feet of the Lord. And then, you know, Krishna is so fair. I mean, somebody just who wants to capture Krishna and tie him, you know, he gives him his Narayani Sena, and to Arjuna he gives himself actually. So this is very interesting, because just few days before Janmashtami, I happened to read Krishna book, and in the reading of Krishna book, this chapter where Narada Muni is visiting the palace of Lord Krishna after he has married 16,108 wives. So he is also very intrigued, and he wants to see the pastime of the Lord. So when he goes there, he sees that, so he goes to the first palace of Rukmini Devi, and then Lord is, you know, Rukmini Devi is, Lord is seated on a bedstead, and Rukmini Devi is doing chamar. And as soon as Narad Muni goes, Lord gets down from the bed, receives him, you know, does his, he washes his feet, sprinkles the water on the, water which has washed the lotus feet of Narad Muni on his head. And Narad Muni also does not, you know, stop the Lord, because he knows Lord is behaving as a human being, so he wants to set the right example. So he goes from there, and then he gets into the second palace. Second palace, again the Lord receives Narad Muni as if he has not received him in the first palace. Again he does the whole thing. And then Narad Muni leaves and goes to the third palace. There the Lord is, you know, doing some other pastime with his queens. So, you know, Krishna book, the whole list of different activities are given. So in one palace, Lord is doing some work for the betterment of the economic affairs. In one place, he is performing some yajñas. In one place, he is performing some charity. In one place, he is getting his sons married. And in one place, he is getting his daughters married. So, he is receiving and sending the bride and bridegrooms. In one place, he is settling the, he is using his diplomacy to, you know, make tie-ups with the rival kings. In one place, he is in his swimming pool enjoying with his queens. In one place, he is meditating on himself. So like this, different people are experiencing different aspect of the Lord in different manner actually. So this should give a sadhaka great faith that Lord is not not limited in his reciprocation with his devotees. Many times we see, like even in this particular case of Dhruva Maharaj, this has happened because Suruchi does not want Dhruva to get that reciprocation from his father. You know, so there is envy in her heart that he is not my son, right? But if we connect ourselves to Krishna, or we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna can reciprocate with us in unlimited manners actually. He has no problem of reciprocating with his devotees in terms of resources. As human beings, as living entities, we are anu. So we have a lot of restriction as to how much we can reciprocate with somebody. But for Lord, there is absolutely no impediment to reciprocate with a devotee who is sincere in his approach to the Lord. So this is a very powerful lesson which comes out of this particular pastime. And we see again in the, as Dhruva Maharaj, another lesson that we learn from here is that somebody who performs sincere devotional service, you know, their prowess actually, once they become just like Dhruva Maharaj, he tilted the whole earth from its orbit. Yudhishthir Maharaj, he became the king of the whole world from nowhere in 18 days. And then Srila Prabhupada, we see at the age of 70, he established ISKCON. And, you know, in so many places, like, you know, devotees established ISKCON even behind the iron curtain during those days. So somebody who practices Krishna, even in our day-to-day life, like when I was in college, I had a friend who took 10 years to pass from his
to do his engineering actually. And I was wondering what will happen to this person actually. But he took up to the process of Krishna consciousness, and now he is a, you know, the place where he is working, he is able to save lakhs of rupees for that particular company by his technological aptitude. Because something which the company would outsource, they get it done through him, and he does it, and he saves lakhs of rupees for the institution actually. So it is not just remotely that we experience these things, but we experience this in our day-to-day lives also. So also we see that in the we will see in the future verses when Dhruv Maharaj, when he returns, actually this is because, you know, envy is such a powerful factor which affects so many people in this world. But when Dhruv Maharaj is returning, you know, people who are there to receive him, amongst people who are there to receive him, are Queen Suruchi also and his brother Uttama also actually. And when and it is said that Suruchi receives Dhruv Maharaj with tears in her eyes and blesses her that may you live long. Right? And Uttama also embraces, and both have tears in their eyes. And then when they are riding back on an elephant, they are both riding on the same elephant actually. So this is something which is very powerful, that if somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness, not only our envy towards others is dissolved, but others will also not be envious of a pure devotee of the Lord actually. That, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is also considered a ajata shatru. He does not have any enemies actually. So this is another very powerful lesson that we learn. And then one of the important verses that Dhruv Maharaj will pray actually in few verses. You know, Dhruv Maharaj, so what happens is, in this, like this verse that we read, demigods are distressed, so they go to Vishnu, and then Lord says that this is my devotee, and then Lord immediately leaves for Madhuvan. This is the verse. And then in subsequent verses we'll see that as soon as Lord reaches Madhuvan, Dhruv Maharaj's meditation breaks, because he is so intensely absorbed and so focused on that meditation. As soon as Dhruv Maharaj loses his sight of his internal meditation of the Lord, he immediately, his meditation breaks, and with a jerk he opens his eyes. And as soon as he sees the form of the Lord in front of him, and he is completely in ecstasy. It is said Lord Dhruv Maharaj falls in front of the Lord like a rod, like he does dandavat pranams. He kisses the lotus feet of the Lord, he rises, and then he is confused actually. Seeing the sincerity of Dhruv Maharaj, Lord touches his forehead with his conch, with his kambu. And as soon as Dhruv Maharaj is touched by the conch of the Lord, all the knowledge of the Vedas comes into his, he receives all that knowledge, it manifests in his heart. And he is completely purified of all the material contamination. And he prays the first prayer of his, Yo antah pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayati akhila shakti dharasvadhamna anyam shahasta charana shravanatvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So he is praying to the Lord, O Lord, my senses have actually now awakened actually. Because by your touch, you have awakened my senses. Now, this is something which we need to learn, that unless we are spiritually awakened, we are like, you know, sleeping actually. Although we may be endeavoring for so many materialistic things, but if we are spiritually awakened, then only we are really awakened actually. And once we are awakened, then that is real, you know, that is real life where there is some juice actually. And then Dhruv Maharaj, he culminates his prayers by praying to the Lord that how he wants to, after achieving the Lord, he wants to stay in the association of devotees and receive the and want to practice the process of hearing and chanting. And finally, he says that he is so grateful to the Lord that he prays Satyashisho hi Bhagavam. So he's saying, O Lord, you are Satyashish, meaning that your blessings will never fail and they are always for the real good of the devotee actually. And and then he says, Satyashisho hi Bhagavam stava pada padma ashish tathanu. Sorry, I forget the verse. But finally he says, the last line he says, Vasreva vatsakam anugraha. Sorry, I missed the term. Basically what he is saying that, O Lord, although I approached you with such a materialistic desire, but you are so kind and you are so benevolent on your devotees that you take care of your devotees just like a cow takes care of her calf. With such great affection and with such great care, you take care of your devotees. So, this is what Dhruva Maharaj's pastime helps us to learn, that we take real, that materialistic world, we cannot have any shelter. We should take real shelter in Krishna. Even if we have materialistic desires, there is scope for them to get purified in the ambit of materialistic desire, in the ambit of Krishna consciousness. But if we have materialistic ideology, then for sure Krishna will destroy that materialistic ideology. And then when one practices Krishna consciousness, there is all auspiciousness that comes to a devotee, and we become completely non-envious, and people also become non-envious of a pure devotee of the Lord. And just thinking of the whole trauma thing that happened to Dhruva Maharaj, it reminded me of one very nice analogy that we heard from in one of the Vrindavan Yatras by Gaur Gopal Prabhu. So Prabhuji was explaining the condition of a living entity. So he was explaining that by giving analogy of a gulab jamun, actually, of a black gulab jamun. So he says, a devotee who is with all the materialistic desire but sincerely wanting to practice Krishna consciousness, he is like that raw material actually of gulab jamun. And then there's just like a sweet maker will make that into a ball and throw it into the fire, and then that gulab jamun will get boiled. So similarly, a sincere devotee of Krishna will get fried in Krishna consciousness in this material world, but while practicing bhakti, you know, so bhakti is like that, you know, after getting fried, and gulab jamun being dipped in the sugar juice. So once that devotee soaks the sugar juice completely, just that gulab jamun soaks the sugar juice completely, once the devotee soaks Krishna consciousness completely, then he is ready to be offered to the Lord. And tomorrow is Sri Radhashtami, and we pray that very soon we become purified of all our materialistic tendencies, and may Sri Radharani offer us to Krishna for enjoying. So with this, I would like to end my class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.